Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to HJT Design Radio Straight Talk, a show dedicated to exploring all aspects of creating a great dental office, where the only dumb question is the question that's not asked. Here's Jim and Han.
Good evening. Jim Jarvis here, along with my co-host, Han Tron. Han, how are you this evening?
I'm doing fantastic, Jim. Just simply fantastic. How about you?
Not bad. Not bad at all. Things have been busy. We have, obviously, as we were talking before the show, have gotten a lot of questions and a lot of comments and a lot of information. But welcome to Straight Talk, episode number 79. We're going to finish up building finishes, what we didn't get to finish up last week. So this will be our final part on building finishes and then jump into questions. Questions from you, our listeners. So that's kind of our topic schedule for tonight. Let's start off with the discussion that we finished with, in that we were talking about base. Now, the base is the area at the bottom of the wall, at the floor, and what happens there. Now, there can be, it would take us all night to go through all the possible options for a base, but the normal ones are the vinyl or rubber base that you see. It might be 4 inches, maybe 6 inches, might be a straight edge, or it might have a little cove at the bottom of it that in a lot of commercial spaces gets slapped on the wall. It's placed on over top of the floor and right over top of the painted wall finish, whatever it is. And it's glued to the wall. Sometimes they 45 the corners. Sometimes they don't. It all depends on what is actually specified. Then you have a wood base. Sometimes it's painted. Sometimes it's stained. That could be of just about any character. Kind of more of a residential looking item or a high-end finish. If, for example, you had a stained wood base that became an architectural feature. So those are kind of the two mains, and then there's just a dozen different varieties. If you had carpet, you could have carpet base. A lot of times you see carpet that might be 6 inches up the wall that's turned up, or another color or another type of carpet. Maybe it has a hemmed seam on it. So there's a lot of things, but all these bases have one integral problem, don't they, Han?
They all have problems.
Yeah.
Okay. And the whole purpose of the base is, the junction where your floor and your wall come together, the base usually are too high. It basically, it's addressing over a seam, okay? That could be unsightly. It's like an accessory, in the aesthetic of the whole building. But they all have their limitations. We can go through some of it, so that way and which one would be appropriate. A lot of time, I think the base are selected. Typically based on cost rather than aesthetic and function. Jim?
Yeah. Now the cost, like anything, we've talked about it before, you really do pay for what you get. So when it comes to dealing with the virus, the COVID-19 and any other biological germ or allergen or bacteria, each one of these bases that we just talked about gives us a 90 degree corner, or some resemblance of a 90 degree corner, or an area that the germ or the pathogen can get into and will stay. And, you know, we've all seen the literature out. There's, you know, plethora of it that talks about how long this pathogen, you know, lives on surfaces. It can be anywhere from hours to days. And so, you know, as it builds up and multiplies, you know, it becomes an issue. And so you have to find a way, you have to have a protocol, you have to have some way to clean that and sterilize that inside corner. And that's one of the hardest things to do, is to sterilize an inside corner, because being it's like at a 90 degree angle, you've got to be able to, you know, how do you get in there? If you just wipe off that surface, you really never get into that 90 degree corner. You know, if you were to flood it, you know, spray it with a disinfectant and try to flood it, then you're at the mercy of, did it get underneath the edge of that piece of rubber base? Did it get underneath of the edge of the wood base? You don't know. And you say, well, guys, we're talking about just a little dinky area at the bottom of the floor. Well, remember our discussions. The floor is where the majority of this pathogen falls. Gravity causes it to a large percentage. Once it becomes airborne in the water droplets, it will fall. Eventually, it will hit the floor. And once it hits the floor, it scatters throughout the space and gets blown into those corners. So actually, one can make the argument that the floor is probably the dirtiest area within your operatory. Now, we're talking operatory right now, but it also has practical cases to every part within your building, because typically you have a base throughout every portion of your building. But obviously the operatory is the dirtiest, because we talked about it before, but that's, you know, that's where the aerosol is created, and potentially that's where the majority of this pathogen might be and how it needs to get taken care of, both airborne and then, of course, by sterilization through a clean protocol. So there is one system that is far and above better than any of ones we just talked about. Now, like anything, it's also the most expensive. And that's the integral cove base system that goes along with a hospital-grade flooring system. Juan, you want to talk a little bit about that thing?
Yep. Actually, the technical name is flash base. And what it does is you have – now, we have spoke and advocate strongly about having minimal – seams, as much, and, you know, as few seams as possible. So the system that, you know, the force material that we often talk about is resilient sheets that where the seam can be welded together, so that there's no open edges. Okay. So when you take that material and you run it to the wall, instead of it just butt the wall and you put a base on it. This material can be run up the wall. Some of them have a little filler that goes to that are attached to the corner, and it basically infill the 90 degree corner where the floor and the wall come together, and allow the flooring to smoothly run up the wall. Your designer, the architect and interior designer, would call out the height of that flash base, you know, whether it's 4 or 6 inches high. But what it does is it eliminates that 90-degree corner at the base of the wall. So it's a lot easier to maintain and clean. And you see that a lot in, you know, in hospital facility, in the old school buildings when they have terrazzo floor and things like that. It's not so much that the flash base is more expensive. The reason why it's expensive is because of the labor. And it's one of those things where if it's not installed properly, it will look really ugly. So if you have a flash base, it's usually done by one of the team's best floor installer. Okay. It's not that we're
actually an art.
It's actually
an art because think of it this way. Okay, sure. If you have a little cove, you know, so like a little curve at the bottom of your wall, and then it curves up to the wall itself. That's easy. All right, your sheet just smoothly comes from the floor, goes up the curve, and goes up the wall. That's a piece of cake. Where does it become difficult? It becomes difficult when you run into a 90-degree corner of the other wall. So you've got two curves that are coming together, all right, and then they run up the wall. So that seam that happens there has to be heat welded to be able to create basically a homogeneous sheet of flooring that is totally sealed, even at the 90-degree corner where two walls come together. So that's where it becomes tricky. And then it becomes tricky when you run into doors or any openings or any other things that might happen along that wall. For example, registers or grills or anything that's down at the floor area. So it is an art in itself, and you're right. You're going to have the seasoned floor installer installing these things because you need to have a continuous, smooth, curved area on all corners, inside corners around the perimeter of your space. Now, if you don't, then that sheet good potentially will break and crack because it's not fully supported. And that's another problem. That's a failure that doesn't help you and actually harms you because now you're getting stuff down in behind the floor material when you try to clean. You're going to be mopping things and that kind of stuff. So, you know, obviously it is it's more labor. It's more sanitary, and it's easier to clean.
Much easier.
Much easier to clean. But it is something to think about and look at, especially in your operatories, where you're trying to keep the area as sterile as possible and be able to clean things up. You know, we're not saying that you have to do it everywhere, and we're not saying that it is the best idea to do everywhere. Obviously, it's great if you can, but go ahead, hon.
Yeah, I think you know the area within your you know your office that need a lot more attention because of you know of the bacteria and virus and all that, where you generate a lot of the the aerosol. Would be naturally your clinical area, so it could simply limit to the clinical area. Okay.
Right.
Another area that may benefit from from flash cold, the flash base would be your wet area, like your toilet, your bathrooms. Okay. There is, like Jim said, it's running up the wall. It's not a big major deal. It doesn't take a lot of talent. The finishing of the inside corner and the outside corner is the area. There's only one manufacturer that I'm aware of that actually have a factory made corner, so that they don't require the guy out in the field to have to be highly skilled. So there is company that is aware that those are problematic area for that type of floor base, and they have come up with a solution to solve that. Okay.
This holds true at the base of your cabinetry as well. So if you have cabinetry within your operatory that goes to the floor, that cove base that continues up will actually run up in that little toe kick area at the bottom of your cabinetry as well. And so you can't just say, oh, just do it on the walls and then slap this cabinet down, because now you're creating the space for the pathogen to get underneath the edge of the cabinet. So, you know, it's got to be continuous within that operatory space. So the other area, Han, that might also be germane to put this product in would be obviously your sterilization.
Yes. Yeah, it's basically your entire clinical area and toilet rooms.
Yeah.
It is, you know, the one of the reasons that it's not widely used in a dentist's office yet because of cost. Because it costs, I was a contractor that I spoke to on a project. You see, it costs typically five times as much to do a flash base versus a rubber base. Okay, and with the flash base, your material from corner to corner is one continuous piece with no seam. Okay, with a rubber base, it depends on what you use. If it's come out of a box, you're going to have seam at every 4 feet or 8 feet. But there is seams on the rubber base. The challenge if you, let's say in the area that are non-clinical, okay, rubber base is usually the drywall when it's installed, it never touched the floor. It's always held off. You know, sometimes it's half an inch, sometimes it's a quarter inch, sometimes it gets as high as an inch. So you have an airspace back there. If they don't dress it properly, the rubber base don't have a good solid backing to rest against or to be glued to. So the bottom of the base, at the bottom where it touched the floor, if the vacuum cleaner hit it just right, it pushes it inward. So once in a while you look at a building and you go, why is the base kind of pushed in? And that's probably why. Part of the problem also with rubber base is that outside corner is a major pain, especially if you go around the outside corner and when it turn, and that turn is less than 4 inches, it has a natural spring. They want to spring back, and no glue is going to hold it forever. Manufacturers are also aware of that problem, so they manufacture inside corner, outside corner pieces to eliminate that, you know, that spring action. When installer install your material, your floor base, they normally don't like to buy the extra, you know, the inside corner, outside corner, even if you specify, because it costs more. So they do everything out in the field. But like Jim say, everything has their inherent challenges. Just as long as you know what they are, you select the appropriate material for your project. Not say you specifically, but your design team. Okay,
right.
You know
exactly.
It.
You know, you could say that, well, what if I were to do away with the base? Well, you kind of address that. In reality, it's not possible. To be able to just run the wall right down to the floor and the flooring itself, there's always going to be a seam. Either the floor material butting against the drywall. But the other thing is base doesn't a critical thing is it protects the bottom edge of that drywall. Drywall is not designed to get beat up by things like sweepers, carts, wheels, you know, all that kind of stuff. You'll beat the snot out of it if you don't have a base down there. Even a thin little vinyl or rubber base does a remarkable job of saving the bottom edge of that drywall from getting beat up from those kind of things. So
yeah.
You're going to have a base of some sort, of something. It's just a matter of what's the best way, and then how are you going to keep it sterile?
Now, somebody's going to ask me, why can't you run the drywall down to the floor, the floor?
Yeah.
Here's an answer, okay? Like Jim say, the bottom of the drywall, drywall product is a gypsum product. It will absorb water.
Mm-hmm.
It will suck it up like a sponge. So when it touched the floor, you know, when it sits directly on the floor, whether it's a slab or wood floor or whatever, if you have any moisture at all on that, you know, where it touches, it will wick it up. And a wet or moist drywall panel is a problem. You could mold.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's why
it's
always
another whole issue, but also a bad issue, right?
Yes, that could be a very bad issue. That's why it's according to the manufacturer recommend that the drywall panel do not touch the floor for that reason. Jim?
Yeah, typically they like them to be an eighth to a quarter inch high, just so that mopping of a floor or spills or whatever don't get in there and saturate the bottom edge of that drywall. We've all had some of those issues before. You know, maybe we have a basement that got flooded. There was some drywall at the bottom of the, you know, and that basement, you have to go in and cut that drywall away and redo it because it's all nasty, moldy, and that's exactly the reason why. Now, hon, you also opened up the subject and talked briefly about seams. Let's talk about seams as they relate to the dental office in all things. We're talking floors, we're talking base,
yeah.
We're talking walls, we're talking everywhere there's a seam. So let's talk about that, the aspect of seams when it comes to building finishes.
I right now the most popular floor finishes is your vinyl luxury panels. You know, the 6-inch wide, the plank.
Plank.
Okay.
Yeah.
It goes everywhere, and you know, you hear the sales pitch from anything from easy to install, cheap to have, indestructible,
waterproof.
And
you get
waterproof.
And, you know.
It's not. It's, you know. Okay. So it's waterproof. Okay. The problem is you have is that if your floor is flooded. It didn't destroy your floor, all right, but you have seams. That water flowed to the lowest elevation. Keep that in mind. Okay, so it goes between the seam, and it just sits underneath, get underneath that panel, that plank, and it sits there. It doesn't evaporate. It just sits there, and it just grows organic stuff, okay? Everything that's on your floor that gets sweep across that seam, even though you can't really see it too well, it could be just a hairline seam or a little larger. But it's a seam nevertheless. So the water that falls in that, the dirt, everything that you mop across or sweep across or drag across that seam will build up into that seam. That's why when you have a floor that's been down for a while, the seam just kind of like overnight, it just kind of pop. Okay? It's perfect for bacteria and germ to grow. Because what do they need? They need moisture. They need organic matter for food. They need temperature, right temperature. Three main ingredients to grow a colony of virus and germ and bacteria and what have you. So that's one of the main reasons why we don't advocate, product that has a lot of seam. Okay, because you really can't clean them. Okay, don't let anybody fool you. You can't clean it well enough. So if you want to have something that looks like, travertine or marble or wood, there's plenty of product out there that give you that aesthetic without the seam. Okay, and
right.
If you have the high performance that you're looking for, aesthetic is not everything, but after all, you want a product that really performs, that doesn't give you any problem, that's easy to maintain, and all the things that eliminate headaches associated with the material.
Yeah,
we were talking
before the show that, for example, on a normal plank flooring system. You know, it could be a click lock system or it could be a glue down system. We talked about that in the last show, I believe. But, you know, they're typically 4 inches or 6 inches wide and you know, 3 to 4 feet long. But on a normal 6x4 plank, you have 4.5 feet of seam on every plank. So, you know, multiply that times your floor area. You've got a lot of feet.
You've got
of
a
seams,
lot.
A lot of seams that are going to harbor a lot of junk, a lot of, you know, bacteria, pathogens, you name it, it gets in there. So that's why, especially like in most hospital grade scenarios, you don't ever see those in any place that they're worried about sterilized areas because it just doesn't work. You can't sterilize that seam no matter what you do. Those microscopic little items get in there and you never can get them out. So, so something to think about, and that's just on the floor. If you and Han, you talked about the base, for example. If you use a vinyl base or a rubber base that comes out of a box, it's not a continuous roll. You're going to have seams every 4 feet, on vertical seams on top of the seam between the floor and the wall. And so, you know, that's another set of seams that are there. If you ever
pull a floor base out, a rubber floor base out, you only have a, what would you call it, Tim? A continuous bead of glue?
Yeah, just and it's not continuous. 9 times out of 10,
right.
It's sporadic, but you have a couple beads of glue at the top edge and probably the bottom edge that hold that thing in place. That's it.
Yeah, and you see, there is no perfect floor. Okay.
No.
Again, if you have a concrete floor, that concrete floor had dips and divots and all that. It's not level. It will never be perfect level, even if it's prepped. So the base kind of cover it a little bit. So there's crevice between your floor material and the base. It's not a seal edge, and then on the top edge of the base, it touches the wall, but it's also not a seal edge. The vertical, you know, where the two pieces come together, there is never ever been a case where they actually seal the two together. They just kind of butt it, and hopefully they line it up. So there's a lot of open, crevices in your office environment. If you can reduce that, particularly in the clinical area, we encourage you to do that.
And if you don't believe us, take a playing card, because if you have vinyl base in your office with a code base on it, for example, take a playing card and lay it flat on the floor and slide it underneath the edge of the base. And 9 times out of 10, it's going to go right under the base. Now, once you've got it under the base, slide it parallel to the wall a couple feet, and then pull it out.
Yuck.
And you'll see how nasty it is under there. Okay.
With your glove.
Yeah. Don't do it with a patient in the room, because you will see just how much crap is underneath of that edge that you thought you had cleaned, because it's not. So, you know, it is a problem. But, you know, there's another set of seams that nobody really thinks about. And let's say you've installed wallpaper on your walls. There are seams every so many inches the width of your wallpaper. And wallpaper seams will hide crap in them just as easily as a base seam or any other seam. So, you know, you got to think about that. Wallpaper may be a thing of the past in your clinical areas because it just isn't something that you can keep sterile. And because of the seams, you get stuff back behind it. So just something to think about again. those areas and those seams. What other seams do we talk about? Obviously, there's all kinds of seams up in the ceiling, depending on the kind of ceilings you use. If you use a lay-in ceiling, you've got seams all over the place, plus a whole bunch of little
right.
crevices.
Yeah, it's, you know, when I say you can't, let me see, it's almost virtually impossible to have a pure, you know, sterile environment. But, you know, material selection is important. You know, just make sure that your team is aware of the need for, you know, for cleanability, durability, and all that stuff, not just purely aesthetic. Okay.
Right.
Your interior designer depends on their level of experience, depend on their exposure to the environment or the type of project. Aesthetic often is the highest priority because after the, you know, the snapshot for the magazine cover, they're gone. And you'll be holding, you know, owning product that will not hold up. So just make sure that your team member is aware of the things that's important to you, important for your environment, and select the, you know, select the material that's appropriate to help you to maintain it without having special requirements and tools and what have you. Okay, so seam is kind of everywhere, but, you know, be mindful and reduce it as much as you can.
Right. Now, there's one other very important seam that we haven't talked about, and that's on the counter of your cabinetry. You've got a seam potentially at the back of the counter where it hits the backsplash or the wall. Okay, that seam has to be addressed. And actually, it's a pretty important seam because if you don't have an integral counter backsplash where maybe you use a solid surface or you have some other product where it's all combined together as into a seamless solution, you've got a crack, you've got a seam that will harbor germs. And that's a very difficult one to get out and clean. And it's in a kind of a strategically bad location because it's even closer to the patient's mouth where all the aerosol comes from in the first place. So
there is solution for it.
Yeah.
Now, Jim, there is solution for it. Okay. Even if you use, when Jim says solid surface material, most of you would hear would be more familiar with a product called Corian. Corian is not really a product, it's the name of a product made by DuPont. But anyway, Corian is more formal. It can be form and shape, so you can do a lot of really cool stuff with it. If you have a Corian countertop, there's two things I encourage you to do and invest a bit little money to, you know, into. Instead of having a drop in sink, which is a sink that you have a hole in the counter, and you drop on top, you know, drop it over it, and you caulk around it, and that's called a drop in sink, or an undermount, which I encourage you not to, because an undermount sink is when you have a hole in the, you know, on the countertop, and you have a sink that goes underneath, and they clamp it to the bottom of the countertop, or they glue to the bottom of the countertop, and you have an edge all the way around. That is a nastiest place because people don't clean it. Okay, you got an edge that just got everything that's gunk underneath there. So the best sink for to use in a solid surface or a Corian countertop is an integral sink. There is no lip. It just basically fused together. So if you clean the counter, you just kind of swipe it into the sink. There's no edge of any kind. Secondly, the backsplash on the solid surface Corian counter, it can be coved. So you have one continuous piece from the horizontal surface up the wall. There's no 90 degrees. If it's cold, integral and coved, That means that where the counter and the backsplash come together, it has a it's kind of radius, you know, it kind of curve up. So those are the ideal clinical area counter and backsplash, okay? Because it helps to make that eliminate that 90 degree corner. You know, the cheapest thing that are done is they usually put the countertop down and they glue the backsplash on top. So you do have a 90 degree. It's cheap, but eventually you'll have a problem with that backsplash because it's just merely glue on. So I would encourage you to look at the Corian or similar product where the backsplash could be cold and integral, including the sink. Jim?
Without a doubt. So and that kind of covers the aspect of building finishes. Hopefully that's been helpful. You know, it can be a situation where you're doing a remodel, or maybe you have an existing and you say, oh, what do I need to do? And then obviously if you're looking at a new design or a new build, you know, talk with your designer, talk with your architect, talk with your professionals about these things and get this kind of stuff integrated into it now. It's a lot easier to do it early before construction has started. So let's jump into the next part, which we wanted to talk about some questions that we've been receiving having to do with, you know, the hot topic, of course, is the COVID-19. We've actually been hearing that there are actually several parts of the country that are experiencing spikes right now, spikes in cases. Florida is one, for example. That your state, Tom, Texas,
yes.
Alabama. There's a whole bunch out west, Arizona. I think California. I'm not going to mention them all because I'm sure I'm going to forget some. But several of them are experiencing some pretty good spikes. Whereas in other parts of the country, for example, up here in Ohio, we have leveled off and started to decrease. So you could be in one of those areas, or you could be in one of the areas that are not, and you're in a situation of, okay, what do I do? So one of the big questions that we've received is, it was actually just a couple days ago that a doctor called us up and said, okay, I'm in an existing space. I have several years left on my lease. I don't own the building, and I'm kind of in a medical office suite. So it's multi-floor. I've got a whole bunch of other tenants around me. And, you know, this may or may not be germane to your particular situation, but it still has a lot of relevance because they're not really in charge of their particular space. And so the question that was raised is, I hear so many things. One group says to do this. Another group says to do that. Another group says to do this. How do I sort through this, and what do I do? This particular doctor says, you know, I've got a deposit down on a filtration system. I'm not sure if I should move forward with that or not. What do I do? And I think that's a pretty common and frustrating question because, you know, they're open. She wants to do something. And then it's a situation of how do you go about to get that something done? Well, what do we say to her, hon? Other than
well,
the obvious,
all,
which is hire us and listen to what we say, but why?
Before I give my answer, you kind of skip over it. Yes, talk to your designer, you know, and all that. And if you can't get the answer that you need and they don't know enough to take care of you, call us. Okay? All right, so let me step into your answer or your question. First of all, we absolutely receive no financial benefit from making recommendation of certain manufacturer. Our whole purpose is to investigate, research, analyze, dissect it, and absorb everything that we can, and then make the comparison. What actually works? We know buildings, okay? We know building system. We know how the building system work within the building. So that's our patient. When somebody say, buy this piece of equipment and put it into the room, and that should solve everything. Or buy this, and if you don't have enough money, knock down your wall so that you have lower your wall so that you have one unit that can serve two or three rooms. There's a thing. If you open the Pandora box, it might be too late to, to put everything that come out of it back in. So for us, we look at things from an analytical, architectural, engineering mindset and decipher, okay, if we use this particular product, what would it solve? Okay, what else is needed so it will solve as many problems possible? We know that aerosol is the biggest concern, okay? Well, naturally, you say, well, why can't we put in a kick butt filtration system into the room or into the building? Because you want to suck up the aerosol, right? Yes, we do want to eliminate as much of the aerosol as possible. Okay, so that's a logical reason. So if you have somebody that recommend that you buy a filtration system, by the way, if you read something that say air purifier and air filtration, that's two different animals. Okay, just make sure that the terminology is proper. But you're looking for an air filtration system. That air filtration system could have a layer of carbon that would suck up or absorb odor. It may also have an array of UV light to sterilize and neutralize the pathogen. But ultimately, it's an air filtration system. So you, we look at and we came to the conclusion there is no one single apparatus or technology that will solve everything. We're dealing with building most of the buildings. Most of the calls we receive are from doctors that have either to lease their space or have their own building, but they have an existing facility that need to be looked at, analyzed, and strategized what would work best, not just something that you go and you buy and throw in and say, that's what they recommend, we just plunk it in, because there's no two facilities that are exactly the same. Okay? We have to look at everything and analyze it and then make the appropriate recommendation that will work and not just simply go shopping and buy stuff. I find it's disingenuous and it's disservice to have a shopping list and say, buy this, buy that, and plug it in, and you should be fine. Because that is, it's almost like doing a virtual diagnosis of your patient. And you're gonna do restorative work without having an X-ray and having an actual examination of the oral cavity. It's not right. It's not recommended. Jim?
Right. And Han, you hit some important points that I want to add a little bit to, and that has to do with, yes, we don't receive any financial backing from anybody that we may recommend. And our recommendations are really based upon our research, our engineering team members, the experts, their research. And, you know, when Honda says we know buildings, yeah, we know buildings and building systems and why things work and don't work. And a building system is kind of like, I guess there's no other analogy other than to say the human body. They're all related, okay? Your heart deals with its particular aspect. Your lungs deal with the other aspect. Your brain tells everything what to do. And all your other sensory kind of systems let you know what's happening. Well, a building is kind of the same way. There's one area that deals with the air. There's one area that deals with the heating. There's one area that deals with the cooling. There's one area that deals with keeping you safe and protected from the environment. There's one area that deals with lights. I mean, and they all work together, okay? You can't let one work without the other, and if you adjust or do something to one particular system, it will affect how the other areas or the other systems work, or not work in this case. And so to answer the question a little bit more abruptly in the sense of what do you do, or who do you think has the right information, you've got to look at where they're coming from and the reasoning behind their answers. That's the easiest way to tell if somebody really kind of knows what they're doing or whether they're just pulling it out of the air. As my dad would have said, you know, it's like if someone is giving you the facts behind why they're making the recommendation, true facts, not, you know, made up stuff. I'm talking about true facts that you can verify that seem reasonable. If they give you those facts and say, okay, these are the facts, this is what this particular product does or this system does and why you should use it, because it takes care of this, this, and this. These are the issues. Here's the facts. So the supporting data that's behind the decision is crucial. It's beyond crucial to verifying whether somebody really, you know, knows what they're doing and is giving you the right information. Somebody that just gives you a list, get this, get this, get this, get this. My very first question, Hans' very first question, your very first question should be, why? And that's important. Why? Because, Han, you hit it right on the head. Each office, each dental facility is different than the other. And each one of them has a different set of criteria and a different set of issues, whether you have doors or don't have doors, or whether you have this particular floor material or that particular floor material, whether you have what kind of heating system and cooling system and air changes do you have within your space. You know, just going in and carte blanche say, okay, just get yourself this particular filtration system or this purifier, plug it in, and, you know, walk away, you're ready to go. No, that doesn't work. At least it doesn't work in our minds. And we've done a ton of research on this and have been and will continue to do. And so, you know, we're not comfortable saying that. We like to give you the facts so that you can make your own decision based upon the information that you're given and ask, you know, ask the questions of why. Why do I need to put this in here? Tell me why it works or why it should work. And if that makes sense, then you've got the right group or the right person or the right team on board. Does that make sense, Han?
Absolutely. I think it's, you know, for us, it's and we say this again, we're not married to any manufacturer, any product distributor or anything like that. Our whole main objective is to go and find and research and compare product and system so that when we design it to the best, with the best information possible, to give, to produce, and create the optimal performance type of building and system that you have. Because it's long haul. There, it would be a shame to go and buy, for instance, the because I read a lot of this stuff, and let's say you got 5 treatment rooms, and all you want is to have an air filtration system in the room to suck out the aerosol. Each unit is, let's say, run around $2,000. You just dump $10,000 into your office. Yes, you do have air filtration system. They are hospital grade. But for it to really truly be effective, you may have to put in doors in your open, semi-open treatment room. If you weren't aware of that, then you're solving one problem, but it's not really truly solving it. You're drawing money at a problem, but it doesn't fully solve. So to make it more effective, you have to have a door in this treatment room so that the aerosol that's being generated when you do treatment, restorative work, it doesn't get thrown around and out into the open space of your clinical area. So whoever work on your project, help you, they need to understand everything that are, work together, so that way you are investing the money into using the right product, the right building system, and that way it creates less problem, and you get the optimum for your investment. Jim? Jim, are you still there?
One application we were talking about, the prime example, is where someone recommended that you knock down or take a part of the wall down between two operatories so that you can communicate the air between operatory one and operatory two. Well, I will ask the question, who does that make sense to? And that may be, snarky or a little bit jaded, but, it's like, that makes absolutely no sense to me whatsoever, and here's why. First of all, why was the wall there in the first place? Well, the wall was there in the first place for many other reasons, but one is to separate operatory one from operatory two so that you keep the aerosol within one and two separate. You do not want to have patient one infecting patient two because the two spaces are now joined together. It's no different than, why didn't you just put both chairs in the same room and knock the wall down? Well, that doesn't make any sense because now you don't have a isolated separation between the two. And then you have the whole issue of sound and noise and, that wonderful thing called OSHA and a wonderful thing called
HIPAA?
What's it called? Yeah, HEPA. HIPAA.
HIPAA.
Yeah, HIPAA. And so when Doc is talking in operatory two about the procedure, operatory one gets to say yes or no.
That would be fun.
It doesn't make sense. That makes no sense whatsoever. So it actually is causing more of a problem than it is solving a problem. And that's a prime example of someone who doesn't understand the complete building system and is just looking at it from one fine, focused little area saying, okay, it's too expensive to put in a filtration system in each operatory, so how do we solve that? Okay, let's just make the rooms communicate with each other and we can put one filtration system for two rooms and effectively cut it in half. The logic doesn't bear. It doesn't make sense because the other systems fail when you do that. So, this kind of stuff Han, you and I, we could go on forever about it and the particulars and why, but you ask the question, why? If someone says do something, they have to give you an answer as to why and show you the data as to why it makes sense to do it. Then, if that makes sense, then that's something you might look into doing. Han?
Yes, I agree. Because after all, it is your money. It is your facility. The design has to be right. It has to meet the specific objective that you're trying to solve. Okay? We say that before. There is not a single system that we are aware of at this present time that solve everything in your facility. So it's going to be multiple layers, and all those layers have to work and complement each other. Okay?
Right.
You're not going to get away
from...
If
that system comes available, we'll know about it, and we will let everybody know about it if that single system becomes available. Right now, it's not out there, and we haven't found it, but we're going to keep looking. But right now, multiple layers... multiple systems working all tandemly together, just like our human body does. And that's the exact same thing that your practice has to do, your facility has to do, working together to basically fight this issue and create a safe environment for you, your staff, and mostly for your patients. So, like
always,
we've blown through an hour, only got through one question. But I think it was an important one, and it's crucial. Mostly, to answer that person, that doctor's question is: there are so many people out there that have an opinion, and it's just that—it's an opinion. Ask the reason why behind it, and if they can't give you the good answers, go to the next person or go to someone else, because. If they don't know why, or they can't tell you why to your satisfaction, then it's not something you should look at. So with that, obviously,
Jim,
thank you for... Yes, Han, go ahead.
Yeah. Let me say the group mentality or pack mentality shouldn't influence you. Because a lot of time you hear that, my buddies... or a group of my buddies all did that. If all your buddies did it wrong, would you do the same? So, ask the question, do your own research. And then when you get all your question answered, pull the trigger. Jim?
Absolutely. So with that, obviously, thank you so much for spending your time with us. I know it's a whole hour, but... hopefully you've got some good information. If there's something that you'd like to hear more about, or send us an email, send us call us on the phone. You can get us everything on the website. And with that, we look forward to next week for another topic. And Han, I'll give you the last word.
Well, I certainly enjoy the last hour. Gosh, we certainly blow through it pretty quickly. I hope that we give you some valuable information to work with. Meanwhile, until next time, have a good evening.
You've been listening to HJT Design Radio Straight Talk with Jim and Han. To contact us and find out more info about upcoming shows, please log on to our website at www.hjtdesign.com. Until next time.